Coach, thank you for taking time out of a very busy schedule to talk with us. Let's jump right into things here. This past season, your first at NC State, the team won the East Atlantic Gymnastics League title, and the school hosted an NCAA regional championship. Let's start with how your journey to Raleigh began. You are heading up a highly successful program in Illinois for seven seasons as the head coach, and then you're talking with Debbie Yao, the AD at NC State, and sharing your visions for this program. So what did you hear from her? What did you see that sold you on taking over this program at NC State?
You know, I think one of the most intriguing parts of the position was when I began at Illinois, I was part, very integral part of building that program to national prominence. And so every year it was like another step up the ladder. And at the end of my journey there, there was great satisfaction of where the program was and where it had gone. And when I looked at NC State, I saw a lot of those same characteristics with the program, where I really thought the program could go, and just being part of a rebuilding process like that was something that really got me thinking about the position and the opportunity here at NC State, and something that I would love to be a part of.
So we'll take a step back before Illinois. Let's talk about how you became the most valuable gymnast during your time at Iowa State. First, how did you get into gymnastics, and what drove your competitiveness?
My family, there's four girls in my family, and so I'm a triplet. And so the three of us were extremely close, all girls. And then we have a 19-month-old older sister. And so she was involved in gymnastics at an early age, and we had to kind of just go along to classes with her. So my mom put us in classes naturally. We were terrible. We couldn't do a cartwheel. We just weren't good. But I think that, you know, the more we did it, the more we loved it, and loves sometimes drives being successful. And time goes on, and we all ended up going to Iowa State, and we're part of the program, or the three of us. My older sister took a different path, but the three of the triplets went to Iowa State and competed for the team. And really, that was, I think that was something that was extremely memorable and helpful, I think, for our career and my career. So that's kind of how it began, just in a little top class, and it just grew from there, and here I am.
I'd be remiss if I were to skip over the fact that, number one, you're a triplet. So, all right, out of the three of you, who was the best?
Well, I have to say, it's Kim, Karen, and Katie. And so Katie and I were competitive forever, very competitive. Karen had a little setback in high school, and so she loved the sport, did it in college, but just wasn't as competitive as Katie and I. She was more just very supportive of Katie and I. And so Katie suffered an injury sophomore year in college. And so that kind of drifted a little bit, because she had some challenges that she had to overcome just with her injury. So when you look at the whole college career as a whole, I think I experienced the greatest amount of success from an individual perspective, only because I didn't have the challenges to go through that they went through. So it was helpful.
You have kept the peace in the family for the holidays successfully. That competitiveness in athletics carries over into the classroom as well for you. You have an undergraduate degree in finance and an MBA in business administration. There's just no small feats at all from Iowa State. And while you were there, you also served as a graduate assistant in compliance and an assistant coach. Tell us about transitioning from being a student athlete to coach, and was that something you thought would be part of your career plan?
You know, honestly not. When I went to college, I was one of those that I'm a business major. I'm going to be a business major. I'm not going to change my major. And I stuck with that. I think around my junior year in college, I was blessed to be surrounded by great coaches, great mentors that really helped me just grow in my career as a student athlete. And so about a junior, I started coaching at camps and really just loved that side of the coaching part of it. And eventually I'm like, hey, I'm a business major, but I think I want to be a collegiate coach. So I went through, you know, my senior year, and I did. I went on, you know, job interviews from the business end of it, and, you know, great companies. And in the end, I, you know, it's just not what I wanted to do at that time. And so I explored different opportunities as far as coaching, and it's very hard to get into collegiate coaching. So I tried and I didn't get in. So I took the year off. I worked at the club, got some really great, valuable coaching experience, did another job on the side. And then I tried again and I didn't get in. And so at that time, I really wanted to get my MBA. And there was a position that opened up in compliance, and I could coach at the club. So it was kind of like the best of all worlds. I could coach, I could, you know, be a grad assistant, and I could get my MBA. So I went with that. Honestly, all three parts of that was phenomenal. I loved them all. Compliance was super intriguing. And so at the end of that 2-year stint, compliance said, hey, do you want to come on full time? And, you know, there was just something in my heart saying, no, I want to coach. And I was fortunate enough to get the opportunity to be the coach at Iowa State under my assistant coach at the time. She took over as head coach. And that's kind of how my, you know, collegiate coaching career got started.
Is there a particular person as a coach that when you look back, that you looked up to, or maybe that you're modeling what you're doing now as a coach?
Well, I will say KJ Kindler, she's the head coach at Oklahoma. She was very influential in my career as a student athlete and as a collegiate coach.
Well, you're no stranger to coaching accolades, regional assistant in 2005, national assistant in 2009, South Central head coach 2015. And in your first year at NC State, you were named Southeast Region Coach of the Year. This points to not only a talented individual, but someone who puts in the time. And being a coach, that's lots of time. Full days, off-season recruiting. Tell us what it takes to be in your position as a coach and the part or parts that you enjoy most of being a coach.
You know, I think it just takes the ability to balance all phases of your life, because I know for me, I'm trying to be the best head coach. I'm trying to be the best boss, the best wife, the best mom, the best sister, the best daughter. And so it just balancing all of that just really takes the ability to step back and look at it through different telescopes and say, how can I do everything and be successful at it all, while being able to identify what the needs are of the various constituencies in which I'm dealing with. And so I think that not reacting is a major part of that, just being able to breathe. I've had to get really good at, you know, okay, maybe not right now, maybe, you know, in an hour, just as far as when you're trying to balance, you know, your job and your family life.
How's that balancing coming along? Because that is something that I think you learn through time and experience.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. I have two younger children, 6 and soon to be 10. And the balancing is going good. I think that it is. There's no exact formula to it. It gets better as it goes. And so I think just being able to plan, look ahead, communicate, knowing what the responsibilities are at the different phases of your season, because it's a year-round job with recruiting and everything, and just being able to know that you can do everything and be good at everything, but it's going to take a lot of work and it's going to take a lot of deep breaths.
We're going to touch on recruiting a little bit more here in just a moment or two. Well, let's transition a little more over into the team. Let's take a look first at Eagle, okay? The East Atlantic Gymnastics League. In addition to NC State, there's New Hampshire, North Carolina, Pitt, George Washington, and Towson. The mix of schools is interesting. What kind of challenges do the members collectively face, like, you know, travel, recruiting, schedules that you're noticing as the head coach at NC State?
I mean, I realize think that the challenges, one challenge is always recruiting. We are in a sport that early recruiting has really become the norm, despite all of our efforts as coaches to kind of slow it down a little bit. You know, you have to identify athletes at a very early age of how you feel they might fit into your puzzle in recruiting. Sometimes you can't meet them. Sometimes you're relying on them calling you because you can't call them. And so just trying to actually learn the student athlete or prospective student athletes that you're recruiting and how they might fit into your program. And then a lot of it is going with your gut and seeing, you know, just what you feel. And I think that that's super challenging because as gymnasts, you change over time. And sometimes I've had individuals who have been superstars in eighth grade and then they plateau. I've had individuals who you would never look at as a sophomore in high school, and then they turn out to be one of the best in program history. And you just never know. So you kind of have to just see what you feel. And do you see that potential in them? And do you think that they fit into your coaching style and your philosophy? But I think it's really challenging is because none of us have a crystal ball. And so it's difficult.
Well, let me go ahead and skip a little bit further here into the recruiting aspect of it, since we're going down that path. You've previously been involved with the Gymnastics Academy, which is a great way to build for the future. Are you currently or have plans to do the same thing to start planting those seeds for future gymnasts?
Anybody's trying to get into coaching, I highly recommend that they get involved in club coaching and teach the developmental gymnastics, because I really helped. Like, my philosophy in college is I'll continue to learn philosophy. So when they come in as freshmen, I really hope that we can continue to teach throughout their 4 years. So when they graduate, they can look back and they have felt challenged. They have felt as if they have grown as a student athlete. Versus everything just staying the same and being monotonous. And I think that when you coach at a club and you help the developmental girls learn and become those elite athletes, that teaches you the tools to do it when you're a collegiate coach. So I thought it was very valuable. I don't have plans to do it in the future. I think that I did learn a lot from it, but just with being the head coach and all the other, you know, things in my life I'm trying to balance with family, that would be a little too much for me.
I can understand. I don't want you to give away any secrets.
Okay.
But what are some of the best recruiting areas in the country?
Oh, well, I think that every university kind of finds what their niche is. I really like Texas. I think Texas is a hotbed of gymnastics. Region 8 is extremely strong. There are so many. Region 3 is strong. I mean, there are so many. I think that as a university, you just have to kind of find out what works for you. North Carolina has so many great gyms. So I feel very fortunate. Prospective student athletes want to come to NC State. It's a great place to further your career and get a great education. And so that's been very beneficial here for me.
Never hurts to have a good backyard full of potential talent. Let's dive right into what you're looking at. This year, you're not really heavy on seniors, but you have a very promising roster, sophomores and first years. Talk about your seniors like Caitlin, Alexa, Paris, and Maggie. Tell me a little bit more about what they hold in promise for this season.
You know, I think each of them have different strengths. Paris and Alexa, although they practice on all four events, if you ask them, you know, what they're a little bit more natural and what their strengths are, vault and floor, they're dynamic, they're powerful. They love those two events. And what's nice is that you can rely on them for the other two events as well. It's just they're a little bit more eye-catching and like the wow factor on vault and floor. Whereas Maggie suffered an injury early in her collegiate career. And so she is limited to bars and beam. And she's a great bar swinger. She loves the event. She's also willing to work for every detail and every tenth there is. So she will, my gosh, she will work tirelessly to make sure that she's going to put herself in the best position to be successful with whatever event she's competing. And then Caitlin's just kind of that even keel gymnast who, she's very strong on all four events. Last year, with the majority of our competitions, she competed all around. Honestly, expecting the same out of her this year, but you would never know it. She just kind of comes in, does her thing, takes her role extremely seriously, but in just this very modest way. And I think the leadership that all four of them bring to our team is indescribable, because they experienced a transition last year and they really bought in and they felt the success. And now for their senior year, they knew what preseason was going to be like. They know what season's going to be like. So the comfort level's definitely a little higher than it was last year. And I think they can share that story with the underclassmen who they're trying to lead, you know, so that we can reach the goals that we've set forth this year.
So that maturity and that senior leadership really comes in handy. Let me ask you to highlight a couple of others. And obviously, I'm not going to be able to hit on everybody, but that's why I'm going to let you run with it. But let me ask you about Drew, who's a junior. And we'll start there with Drew Grantham first.
Drew had a phenomenal sophomore season. So as a freshman, she did. In the last half of the season, she competed in the all-around. And so I think she was used to doing that. And so last year, it was kind of like a breakout year. She was that individual that she likes competing. She thrives to compete. It's like her moment. And so when you put her on the competition floor, you just wanted to watch her. And now this year, she's kind of upped her game in practices, because she really understands that you're going to compete how you practice and values the work that she puts in during practice and how it's going to translate to success on the competition floor. So she's been a great leader by example as well in the gym this preseason, one that I really feel like the rest of the team, whether, you know, it's underclassmen or upperclassmen, can look to and say, hey, she has that competitive mindset that you need to be successful.
Now, let me take a look at a couple of first-year performers, and I hope I pronounce her name correctly, Aaliyah Harrison and Meredith Robinson.
So Aaliyah is a transfer, and when she started to explore NC State, I honestly didn't know anything about Aaliyah. And just through time, I tried to learn as much about her as possible before deciding, you know, as far as was there a position on the team and, you know, would she fit into our family? And I'm so glad I did. Aaliyah has been a joy to coach. She has really cherished her time here so far. I think she really embraces being given the opportunity to do the sport she loves so close to home. She just is so coachable. And so I'm excited for her season this year. She's been doing very well in the gym. And, you know, I think she might, you know, she'll definitely have a role on the competition floor, and expecting her to break in lineups. Right now it looks like, you know, for sure she's broken into one lineup. And I think that give time, you know, she's working out really hard on three events and every day she's getting better. And I'm just really excited to see where this season takes her.
And Meredith.
Meredith. So Meredith comes from a very highly successful club gym. She grew up and learned great technique. She's so level-headed. She gets it. And it's great to have gymnasts that just get it. So I think freshman year is always a transition for everyone. She's really handled it well as far as just being able to be a very successful student while being a successful athlete. And so she also, I mean, you're going to see her compete on the competition floor right now. You know, she definitely is in one event, but she works out on all four events. And as time goes by, she's just going to continue to get better and better. And I think she has a great collegiate career ahead of her.
Give us a snapshot of the rest of the team and tell us if you've gotten to the point yet where your recruiting efforts are starting to pay off.
You know, so most of the ladies on the team, with the exception of, you know, a few, were recruited by the previous staff. And so my role when I came in was pretty much just try to get us all, you know, on the same page and develop a culture for with buy-in as far as, you know, a partnership. I want them, you know, practices and competitions. You know, I think it's really communication in this stage of their career is essential, just because everybody has a different situation. And, you know, you can treat, it's really important to treat everybody to their circumstances and to understand the challenges that individually they're faced with, and then being able to come up with a team plan that will make everybody successful. So most of these individuals were recruited by the previous staff. Lauren Kent, I'm extremely excited about. She was limited last year a little bit because she was coming back from an injury in high school. And this summer, she put in a ton of work. And I don't know, just look, big things to come from Lauren. Super excited about her. Kaylin Follin, she is a local gymnast just from North Carolina, and she has put in a ton of work on balance beam and has progressed and really is beginning to flourish on that event. So I am excited to see what the season holds for her on beam. And then, I mean, there's so many of them. We can't do what we do without every single person on the team. And so, you know, it does, if they're competing one event, if they're competing four events, if they're not competing, they all have such a valuable role for our success. So ask me this in a, you know, in 2 months and see if there's anybody new, because I'm sure there's somebody else that will flourish.
We'll check back in with you as the season progresses. Speaking of the season, scheduling wise, you have a very wide selection of competitors on your schedule, and you start your season with Michigan State on the 5th of January. You jump right into the fire against last year's number 18, and I think they're 18 again this year, Ohio State. And then Eagle competitor George Washington is ranked 26th. You folks are at 25 in the preseason poll. What are your goals when it comes to building the program, when it comes down to facing such a wide variety of competitors?
Our sport is a little bit different than most, because wins and losses don't determine postseason competition. It's all about the scoring. I mean, it's execution, and just comes down to a 10th here and a 10th there, and every 10th is so critical. So by coming up with a schedule that kind of gives the student athletes experience from several different conferences, several different, you know, realms of, whether it's, you know, the top 25, those that made NCAA nationals last year, just giving them that experience will help them prepare them for NCAA postseason, which is our goal. And so we're excited about the schedule this year. You know, we have Big Ten competition, we have SEC competition, of course we have the Eagle competition, we have Big 12 competition, and I don't know if I'm missing any conferences, but so many great conferences that we are going to have the opportunity to compete against. And so I just think that that's part of the preparation to get us to be successful come March and April.
Now, you've been, as a competitor and as a coach, you have been ranked, you have gone to regionals, and Talk to us about your hopes and your dreams about taking this team into regionals on a regular basis and ultimately shooting maybe for a championship.
Yeah, I mean, our sport this year is going to a different format, which is super exciting. And so what it used to be is the top 36 teams made the NCAA regionals, which was kind of the first round. And then there would be 12 teams that made NCAA nationals, which let's say is the second round, with six of those teams making the Super Six, which they would vie for the national championships. How it works this year is there's a round one, a round two, a round three, and that's of regionals. And then there's going to be the NCAA nationals, which will be top eight, and then the final four. So what's very intriguing and exciting about this year is our goal is to shoot to get a first round bye and qualify for round two. And that's going to be the top 32 teams. And then the top two from each session, there's eight different sessions happening across the country, will make it to that next day, which will be round three, which will be the top 16. So there's a lot of opportunity for advancement as you go through the NCAA postseason that our ladies should be super excited for, because it just, as far as the sport of gymnastics, if I'm a fan, it's just thrilling. It's going to be a thrilling 3-day competition to watch. And then, as I said, 2 weeks later, NCAA Nationals will be here, and that will be super exciting to watch as well. Gymnastics is just a very fan-friendly, great-to-watch sport. It's like one of the most-watched sports in the Olympics, though. So
exactly. And I'm going to ask you now, from the standpoint of being a fan, and I love watching, gymnastics, period. I find it fascinating, the athleticism and the time and the focus that are involved in it are unlike any other sport. So that impresses me immensely, and then the artistry that's involved is immense. But as a fan, I know that when I look at the rankings on a regular basis, when we're writing about what's going on with Eagle and teams nationally, you know, I look at attendance numbers and things. So, and I know that the more people who know about a sport and where and how it's available to them to go see, the more likely they are to go and attend. So talk to us about how somebody who is a fan of NC State can immerse themselves in the gymnastics program and become a fan. You know, your schedule, where they can find that, and where your events are held on campus. Give them an idea. Let's say somebody who doesn't have any idea, but open that door to them to build that fan base.
You know, we have 5 home meets this year in 2019. I really think the first step is just looking at the schedule and saying, I'm going to a gymnastics meet. And once you go, you will want to come back. They're very, you know, fan and family friendly. They're exciting. I think people sometimes have the perception that they're quiet. Gymnastics meets are not quiet. They don't need to be quiet. It's entertainment. I always tell our ladies, like, when you go out there and compete, you guys are actresses. You're trying to pull everyone in. And I truly mean it. It's a performance at its highest. And so once you learn a little bit more about the sport, then not only does it become a performance for all the fans to see, but then you're really getting into the scores and the competitiveness. But just, if you know nothing about gymnastics, just going to the competitions and seeing the athleticism and the beauty and the finesse and the dynamic performances, you'll love it.
I concur. And I really appreciate you taking the time to speak about the NC State gymnastics team. From the standpoint of social media, how would somebody follow on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram? Because I know that you're out there with the team, and they can check in. That might be another way that people can access more information about the gymnastics team.
Yes. So for Twitter, @PacGymnastics. That's our NC State Gymnastics one. And then Instagram is @WolfpackGymnastics.
Coach Kim Landris, NC State Gymnastics, thank you so much for joining us and talking to us and sharing the story about how you came into the program, where the program is going, and some folks to watch, and also how to get connected and become a fan for gymnastics at NC State. We appreciate your time.
Well, thank you so much. I enjoyed this conversation. I enjoyed you having me on the podcast.